and a dolphin are two different things, aren't they?
Big difference, buddy. But, big difference.
But they're mammals. Mm-hmm. I think they're both mammals where they have like warm blood. I think that's what makes it a mammal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But so you know, what the way to celebrate National Bison Day is to eat bison, Reg. You want to go out for a bison burger?
Oh, I love buffalo. Buffalo is great. Have you ever had buffalo?
Let me think about that. A bison burger. Do they have salads?
It's not as fatty, right? It's better for you.
Yes, it's very lean. I had the chance to go to Ted Turner's Montana Grill in Nashville, Tennessee, a couple of years ago, and I actually had my first piece of buffalo, and it was absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm. It was very lean. And have you ever noticed when you eat beef that you kind of like, all of a sudden you start to have, I'm full after about, you know, 6 ounces?
Mm-hmm.
The buffalo, I ate it. It was like I hadn't eaten anything.
Mm.
It was.
So what you're saying is bison equates to Chinese food.
Yes.
Because when you eat Chinese food, you're never full.
Well, no. The reason why you're never full when you eat Chinese food is because you're using those sticks.
You can't get enough to get full. That's a good one. You got in on that one, Rick. Hold on, wait. Let me give you the bell. Hold on.
Yes.
All right.
You can't shovel enough food down your gullet with those sticks.
We are 19 days from Thanksgiving. You guys been shopping for your stovetop stuffing and your turkey and your cranberry sauce?
Stovetop stuffing.
No, I'm waiting to be invited to your house. I'm not cooking nothing.
We're not cooking.
Yeah, me and Reggie's coming to your house.
What time is dinner, Stuart?
Well, I'll tell you, Reggie. Tell Rick and tell David how dinners are at my house.
Look here, let me tell you something. Okay, let's go back. All right. On a serious note, listen. I've eaten at Stewart's house, what, 2-3 times? Dude, these are productions, okay?
Wow.
It's like, wow. Let me see. I think, did I do Christmas at your house last year, Stewart, or was it New Year's?
You did Christmas too?
Yeah, I did Christmas and New Year's. Listen, Stewart is a wonderful host. I'm being real serious. When I tell you he takes care of his guests, oh my goodness. What did we have, Stewart, a 25-course meal? I was done after the second one.
25? Wow. What happened to the three-course meal or four-course?
No, dude, that's the appetizers, the two and three, you know. Man.
Mrs. Axelrod needs like 20 courses. She wants people to sit down and she feeds them like they're starving from Ethiopia.
Oh, my gosh.
What is she doing? Is she fattening everybody up for the slaughter?
And she's just a little petite woman. You know, Mama Axelrod is just a beautiful person, just a little petite woman. And Mama wants to eat everybody fat. Like, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah, we sit at a huge table because you need the table just to put all the food down that she desires on the table.
You need a table to put your elbow on to hold your head up.
Wow. So we're all going to the Axelrod's for Thanksgiving, Reggie. Is that what's going on?
Hey, get in where you fit in, you know? Oh, my goodness, when I tell you. It's wonderful hospitality. I mean, just absolutely wonderful. If they didn't say thank you, Stuart, I'll say it again. Thank you so much. I ate enough then. I've been munching on it all year.
I find those seventh and eighth helpings ain't as good as the first six, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Say that again.
The seventh and eighth helpings never as good as the first six.
Well, you don't remember. You don't remember anything after six.
Take a nap.
Right.
But I want to go back to a little bit of election coverage, and I don't usually read things on the air, but I got a mailer in the mail this week. I got it at my house, I think, 2 days ago from the Chamber of Commerce, and the Chamber sent me out a mailer. They sent it to 56,000 people, and I got one for some reason at my office. It was at my office because it's in Myrtle Beach, one of my offices, and they said, I'm going to quote them, like every other tourism destination in the U.S., the Chamber invests public funds mostly paid by tourists to promote our community and create local jobs. The public funds we receive can only be used to promote tourism. That is the law. Every 3 months, we publish a report of our promotion expenses, and each year we are audited by an independent CPA firm. An independent economist evaluates the economic impact of our advertising, and that report is published. Now, Mr. Hux, I then saw a lawsuit that was filed against Hilton Head Chamber of Commerce where they want them to be open to the Freedom of Information Act, and Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce did an amicus curiae, which is a friend of the court brief, bolstering Hilton Head, saying we should not be open to the public. So when the chamber sends me a letter saying they're open to the public, is that true or not true?
It is absolutely not true, Stuart. They're very open about what they want to show you, and they're not open about what they don't want you to see.
Because I looked at one of those reports, and it might say, you know, advertising dollars spent $2.2 million, but that's it, just one line. They don't break down how that money got spent in the advertising. Does that make sense?
We had a lady named, well, I'm not going to name her, but she works for a company called Miller Direct. She paid a $1,500 bill to a local TV station with a $30,000 credit card payment. Not itemized. Nobody knows what the $30,000 was for. And it was all commingled, and we don't have a clue, and we can't FOIA her, and we don't know what's going on. If Skip Hoagland wins this lawsuit, it's in the Supreme Court right now, it's going to change everything. It'll change Myrtle Beach. It'll change Horry County. And it will change the state of South Carolina. We don't have any transparency in anything going on here, and we're supposed to take these people's words for it because they said it was okay. If they say it's okay, you can't question that because, hey, they said it, and they're the tourism lobby. And so don't trust but verify, just trust because we said it was okay, and it's okay. As far as these taxes are concerned, these ad tax dollars, they're writing these ad tax dollars, these big corporations like Sinclair, Next Media, all of these big, large places like Raycom. They're getting 20% rebates sent back to them to their general fund. There's money just being passed around left and right. And let me just say this to you. Just on the commissions alone, you get $32 million in taxes and you get a 15%, 10% commission on an ad buy. Somebody's making some money, $3 to $5 million just on the commissions.
Let me ask you this. They passed that sales tax where that 1% little penny sales tax goes to the chamber, I guess?
Yeah.
And then as part of that, they used like 20% of some of that money to pay down the taxes for the city residents?
Right.
Now, is that how the incumbents – it seems like the incumbents keep getting reelected in Myrtle Beach. Why is that? Why is there never a change in the city politics or the government? Do you know?
Well, there's a couple of hotel owners that formed this thing called the Grand Strand Business Alliance. And what the Grand Strand Business Alliance – you take a guy like Greg Smith. Greg Smith just got $40,000 in a couple of weeks into his little campaign for a job that pays $17,000 a year. He ain't elected yet. But boy, he got fed. The tourism lobby fed him. Then they put him in office, and guess what? Guess who he votes for? Guess who these guys are voting? He votes for the tourism lobby. You know what a SPOTA is, Stuart?
No.
A SPOTA is this. What I SPOTA do, where I SPOTA be, how I SPOTA vote. We got a whole bunch of SPOTAs working in city council, and their brain is working over in the Grand Strand Business Alliance. They have to check in with the brain.
Let me ask you this. They give Brad Dean $420,000 to be head of the chamber. And once I questioned whether the mayor was really, you know, qualified to be the mayor, do you think Brad Dean's qualified to be the head of the chamber?
He's a great politician. He is a horrible marketing guy. The guy's living in the 1900s. He likes push media, one-sided conversations. Try to have a conversation with a brand. Visit Myrtle Beach online. You start asking questions about how safe is it down there, they shut you down. We live in an engagement media world now, Stuart, where there has to be a back and forth between the brand and the customer, and the chamber doesn't allow that. They shut it down. Because those people on social media, Stuart, they're all crazy. They're all nuts. Happen to be our customers, want to talk to us, but we can't have that a back and forth. Because you know what? Everything's safe down here. Everything's good down here. We ain't got no problems. It's a sunny day in Myrtle Beach. You know what they say about Myrtle Beach in Philadelphia, don't you? It's a sunny place for shady people. That's what Philadelphia says about us.
A sunny place for shady people.
Absolutely.
Write that down, Reg. Write that down. We got to remember that.
I'm typing it. Sunny.
Okay. Type it in there. And while you're typing it, I'm going to give us a little bit of trivia. You ready?
Okay.
Trivia time.
All right.
All right, Rick, here's one. I know you've been following this. On November the 4th, 1992, the University of California at Berkeley banned nudity. Did you know that, Rick?
Well, wait a minute.
Here we go.
Why would they ban nudity in California?
Here we go.
That is why I love you, Rick, because you give me the question to give you the answer. Because there was a student known as the naked guy that attended class each day au natural.
He just walked in well, butt naked, huh?
Well, bless that young man.
Yeah. And what year was this, Stuart? What year was this?
1992. Where did he keep his pencils? Did he have like a little pocket protector?
above his ear.
What did he do? He taped the pocket protector to his left chest?
He put his pencils above his ear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It takes, I'm too shy to do that. Mama acts around, I am too shy to walk around naked, you mm-hmm. know, just to walk into a classroom naked, even with the physique and my beautiful body. People would be staring at me.
But the guy's got lead in his pencil. He's good to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 1992. Oh, and where is this guy now? Would anybody,
I don't know,
any
but if he's
idea?
Listening, nobody, if he's listening, call in.
Nobody cares.
Wow. You go to college and you go to class and somebody walks in their birthday suit.
And they buck naked.
Okay. Okay.
Now. Well,
only in America.
What are you here to learn?
Yeah. Who are you here to?
What are you here to learn?
What are you here to teach? Wow, that's a good
now,
one, Stuart.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Let me ask you something, Reg.
Uh-huh.
What happens if a girl did that?
Ooh-wee.
What happens if a girl came to class naked every day? Would you look?
Absolutely, I'd look.
There'd be a lot of guys with lead in their pencil.
Yeah.
That's why they banned nudity at the University of California at Berkeley. And 70 years earlier to today, 70 years to today earlier, November the 4th, 1922, King Tut's tomb was discovered by Howard Carter.
Was he in his birthday suit when they found him?
King Tut or Howard Carter? Which one?
King Tut.
I think he was. Mm-hmm. I think they wrap him up. Uh-huh. He was the boy king. He uh-huh. was the boy king.
Mm-hmm.
And
the curse
let's
began.
See, in 19...
And the curse began. The curse.
Yes.
Because
yes, the curse
several,
began.
Because the minute he found King Tut's tomb, people started dying.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's been a curse from that. They say that when they open up the tomb, I think he died. It's like a couple of years later from some type of disease or something.
Ah, I get it now.
Yeah.
Okay, so they unleashed the disease
when
he, again.
When they open up that tomb,
okay.
Now think about it. I mean, mm-hmm. you're opening up a tomb of a dead person.
Yeah.
Who's to say what's inside that thing for how many years?
That's true. That's true. Okay, I get it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, thousands. Thousands of years.
Yeah.
Mm, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That was way back when. That was before they had radio even. Yeah, King mm-hmm. Tut. Mm-hmm. When I think of King Tut, I think of Steve Martin.
I do, too.
You know, he did the little King... Yeah? Yeah?
King Tut.
Mm-hmm. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Wasn't that his line? I'm a funny guy.
Born today in 1916, he died already, but born today was Walter Cronkite, who had the tagline, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Hux, I say to you, that's the way it is in Myrtle Beach. You ain't going to change anything, Mr. Hux. That's the way it is. What do you think of that?
Well, the problem with that's the way it is the world keeps changing. We got this thing called social media now. We got all these people from the north moving into Market Common and the Grand Dunes. And they're trying to figure out, you know, you ever entered a movie 20 minutes too late and you're trying to figure out the plot line and you're going, what's going on here? What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
These folks from the north are coming down here and they're saying, what is going on here? Why do the same people keep getting elected for 16, 20, 12 years. Well, here's the deal. They're figuring it out. They're figuring it out. They're talking to their neighbors. And listen, this thing is fixing. The lid on this pot's about to come off. Everybody's got 30 hands on this lid trying to hold it down. But if the lid comes off in Myrtle Beach and we do somehow get these tax monies reallocated to fixing our streets and stopping our crime, and we take the power base away from this tourism lobby, it's going to change the city. It's going to change the state. It's going to change the county. And they all know it. This whole gig's about to come to its final end, if not this election, within two or three cycles. But I tell you what it is. It's the residents versus the system. System was carefully put in place, and it's well, well oiled. It's a great system.
Reggie, that sounds like a conspiracy to me.
Yeah, I'm a nut job, Stuart. I thought you knew that when you brought me on.
Well, oil sounds like well financed.
At least he's honest.
Well financed, well oiled, and it was put together carefully. Carefully. By a bunch of people who don't vote R, don't think R. We got a conservative town here. We got a conservative town with liberal leaders. And here's the deal. I ain't saying that Mary Jeffcoat's liberal. I'm just saying I've been talking to some of my friends in San Francisco, and they say she's too far to the left for us. And she's been running the city council. She's been around this whole thing forever. She just got reelected
Reggie,
a couple of years ago.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you my prediction for the mayor race. Write it down on the whiteboard behind you, okay?
Okay, all right. Let me get the Sharpie. Hold on. Okay, Sharpie in hand. All right, I'm ready.
I believe that they're going to have a runoff because somebody's not going to get 51%. I think Brenda Bethune, she's the owner of Better Brands. I think she and former mayor Mark McBride are going to have a they're going to both go first and second, whichever way it is, and there's going to be a runoff. Mayor Rhodes will not be in it, and maybe if that comes to pass on Tuesday, maybe we can have them in next week and they can square off against one another right on the radio with us. And we ask them the tough questions nobody's willing to ask people in Myrtle Beach. Nobody owns Axelrod and Associates. We just bring the news the way it is to the public. And that's what we're good at, Reggie. You know that. We've always been we hear both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Right.
And I know I've picked on the mayor sometimes, and then sometimes I say the mayor's maybe doing the best job he can do. Maybe that's maybe it's too big a city. Maybe we need a new city manager. That guy John Peterson, he's on a month-to-month basis, isn't he, Mr. Hux?
Yeah, he is. We got $190 million annual budget, 900 employees, and a city manager that's on month-to-month can be fired at will. Now, if you work for that guy and he tells you to do something, you know he's month-to-month. I mean, come on, what kind of stability is that?
Wait a minute. The city manager, $190 million budget. City manager is on a month-to-month contract.
Yeah, they left his renewal off the agenda items last week, and they're going to have the vote this coming Tuesday.
But wait, I'm still trying to – city manager, major – ultimate responsibility, and he's on a month-to-month contract.
He is right now. He is until city council decides to vote on his contract.
Wait a minute. City manager, $190 million. You're hiring a temporary?
You can't make this stuff up, Reggie. That's the truth.
Wait,
Reggie just can't seem to wrap it around. Wait a minute.
Hold on. Stuart, hold on. You've hired a temp to manage a $190 million budget on a monthly basis.
Yep, you have. And you know what? You did it without anybody knowing about it. It was all done kind of quiet-like, kind of hush-like. Yep.
30 days.
He's on a 30-day month-to-month.
Well, he was the manager on a yearly basis, now they've just let him be on a monthly basis.
But that sounds like they're getting rid of him. That's what that sounds like.
It does to me. Yeah, I tell you what.
I don't know. I'm not from here. You know, I just drive in and help you at the 60 minutes through at Axelrod Hour. I bring the African American perspective. You know, I bring the season of reason. What? You know,
he also Stuart, everybody. Mm-hmm. He also brings. See if we got it. See if I can pull it up.
Uh huh.
Wait a minute.
It's coming.
What do you got?
I have no idea.
There we go.
I've died and gone to heaven.
Yes! Oh, my God! Reggie and his Georgia Bulldogs fight song.
Yes! 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 Oh! Yes! I can't take it anymore.
Oh, yeah, dogs are number one.
Hallelujah!
His truth is marching on.
Number one!
Speaking of your dogs, dude.
Number one!
They are playing South Carolina
number one home
today at 3:30.
Yes, between the hedges. I'm running back to go to the game.
That is going to be a game.
Yes. When I leave here, I'm coming up 5:01. They're clearing the roads for me, Stuart. They're clearing the roads. I've got to be back in Athens. Yes!
You're going to The dog is going to eat some rooster. Is that what's going to happen?
Yes. I'm going to have honey mustard on the side.
Well, as a big-time Gamecock fan, I got to pull against you here on this one.
I knew that was coming. Why did I know that was?
Yeah, but you know what?
Reggie, I got you back, buddy, because I'm not a Gamecocks fan. But my team sucks, so it doesn't matter.
Who's your team? Coastal Carolina?
Tar Heels.
Tar Heels. Coastal Carolina is playing the Arkansas Razorbacks today at 4 o'clock.
That's going to be a big game, I'm telling you.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Stuart. Did you say Coastal is playing
Razorbacks.
Arkansas?
Yeah, the Razorbacks.
Pig Suey.
Now, Coastal's they have a streak. Coastal's on a streak now. You know, they've lost seven in a row.
Yeah, it's a streak, all right.
Hey, come on now. Spread the love, my friend. Spread the love.
I'm headed back to
Athens.
Like
the good reverend says, we must spread the love, my friend.
Let's see, if I leave here at 8:30, I can be back in Athens by 4:30. No, wait a minute. That's too long. 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30. I can be back, the game's at 3:30 on CBS.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can probably just put it on your DirecTV on your telephone while you're driving to get there.
No, there's nothing like being have any of you guys ever been to a Georgia football game? Dude.
Sadly, I have. I went to there before Spurrier when Georgia was playing us, and I thought they were going to try to kill y'all's running back from scoring so many times on us. It was sad.
Yes, there's nothing like being between the hedges on Saturday. I'm telling you. If you don't go to a Georgia football game before you go to see the good Lord, you have not lived. You have got to go between the hedges in Athens. Yes.
Those dogs are a force this year, man.
95,000 people at the stadium. 95,000. And 295,000 people outside tailgating.
Yeah, and that coach they got's a smart guy, too. What's his name? Kirby's smart.
Was it Rick Smart?
Kirby.
Very smart. That's it. His name is Very Smart.
Hey, did you just say Rick Smart? Hey!
Rick Roberts.
Hey!
No, sir. They're having a banner year. I mean, they're really having a banner year. 8-0. Yeah, we'll see. Now, there's some contingents going on. Alabama, LSU. You know, we'll see what happens. Clemson, give Clemson their props. Give Clemson their props because Clemson has beat Georgia a couple of times over the last several years. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But for right now, we're going to bask in the glory of the 8-0 season. Yes, in the number one spot in the country. You won't be able to buy a ticket for the rest of the year.
What's interesting in Georgia, you know, the whole state goes behind the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yes, sir.
Like in South Carolina, you got half Clemson, you got half USC, and then you got like a small smidgen Coastal Carolina playing at Arkansas Razorbacks. Oh my God. What do you think the final score is going to be? Like 84-12?
Well, not that kind of butt whooping, but you know, considering
you know,
what they've
Coastal
done.
If Coastal beats Arkansas, we will make national news.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we made national news with Bubba Henson with his little video of the fight on Father's Day, the little shooting and stuff. But we can make national news. Come on, Coastal. Carolina University Roosters beat Arkansas Razorbacks. I mean, the Razorbacks are going to eat the Rooster, I think. But if Coastal could win, oh, my God, that would be like manna from heaven, Reggie.
Yeah, it really would. Yeah,
go Teal.
That would change things for Coastal. Can you imagine if they were to beat Arkansas, what they would do for the coach's ability to recruit for next season? Now, they've already invested a good bit in the football stadium at Coastal. Have any of you guys been over to Coastal's football stadium?
I love it.
Really nice. It's really a nice stadium.
Yeah, they've done a really good job in bringing that up to
code. Bring it up to code. Yeah.
They've done a great job with that.
It's very nice. Very nice.
And RNN and is the official station of Coastal Carolina University.
That's right,
all the games everything. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they should maybe RNN should pay to do a commercial on my show. What do you think, Rick? Mm. Can we get them?
Yeah, we try to work on
the sponsor. Let the radio station sponsor me now. That would be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wouldn't it?
Sponsor them.
RNN. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stuart Axelrod brought to you by RNN. Yeah, it's Hot Talk 99.5.
I like that. I like that, Reg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good.
You know, folks, if you want to hear more of us, like if you want to get rid of the vitamin commercial before us, just call the radio station and say you want to hear more of the Gay Axelrod Hour with Rick Roberts.
Mm-hmm. With Rick Roberts. I like how he said that. He wrapped that real well.
He covered you and me.
Yeah, he got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's an attorney.
We can do that.
He has an attorney. He's a play on words there, Rick.
No. Maybe someday they'll give us the afternoon show, Reg. Maybe we'll do the drive time live home show from Myrtle Beach, and we can entertain people while they drive home from their jobs and they're sitting in traffic, because all we got is these roads that aren't big enough for us these days. But maybe they'll fix that too. Mm-hmm. We need some super highways and byways and parkways and throughways. We need things. We need I-73. We need politicians that work for us. We need all that kind of stuff.
I'd be happy if I could just get down 501 without getting stopped, you know? Sometimes you come down 501 at the right time of day. Oh, boy, there you are, just sitting.
Yeah, 501 is one of those roads that's like, I think they should expand it to four lanes on each side.
Mm-hmm. Like the downtown connector in Atlanta, it's eight lanes. Can you believe it? And still not enough.
Oh, no, you're right. It's still not enough. That's
still not enough.
Man, those people are flying through those roads.
Yeah, eight lanes on both sides, and it's still not enough. You been to Atlanta, Dave?
I have, man. It's tough.
Anyway. Yeah.
Reggie, listen up.
Yes, sir.
You know, the greatest fiction writers the world have known couldn't make this stuff up, what we talked about today, but we call it the city government in Myrtle Beach. Mr. Roberts, take us home, buddy. Let's go home.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Does it seem to anybody else that we've become a nation of complainers and accusers? Yet another celebrity was accused of sexual misconduct this week, and America is once again focused on the wrong problem. Is molestation a bad thing? Absolutely. Is revealing it through the media the right way to go about it? Absolutely not. This type of grocery store tabloid filler material is distracting us from the real problems our country faces, Reggie. Healthcare is crumbling, and terrorists, no matter what race, are killing innocent people here on American soil. We're on the verge of a civil war over skin color. We've got a national problem with opiate abuse and veterans who honorably served our country living on our streets. Do I care who Kevin Spacey did or didn't make inappropriate advances to? Not in the least, and neither should you. In case you didn't know it, we have bigger problems, and those are the ones we need to focus on. God bless America.
Then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace and tell me.
Reggie, it's another hour in the books, buddy.
Yes, sir, and what a great hour, Stuart. This is fantastic. Yeah. I love it on Saturday.
Yeah, and listen, I want to tell everybody in Myrtle Beach that we have Mr. Hux here to give a point of view. Everybody needs to go out and vote. If you go out and vote and everybody votes, then you get what you want. And if you don't vote, don't blame me, because I'm not allowed to vote in Myrtle Beach because I live in Conway. But I want everybody to go out and